Pfizer strikes Medicaid deal to save states $280 million annually. And number 10,022, takeaways by Plaquemium AI Hyde. And number 9,650, Pfizer reached a Medicaid pricing agreement projected to save state programs $280 million annually. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services imposed a six-month nationwide moratorium on new Medicare enrollment for hospice and home health agencies effective May 13, 2026, citing escalating fraud. These two 2026 policy moves represent simultaneous federal tightening of healthcare spending across pharmaceutical and provider segments. Pfizer's Medicaid pricing agreement, projected to save state programs $280 million, lands alongside a sweeping Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services moratorium on Medicare enrollment for hospice and home health providers. Together, these 2026 policy moves signal a fundamental repricing of regulatory risk across every major segment of the healthcare investment universe. The federal government is tightening its grip on healthcare spending from two directions simultaneously. On the pharmaceutical side, Pfizer has reached a Medicaid pricing arrangement that a study estimates will deliver $280 million in savings to state programs, according to Becker's Hospital Review. On the provider side, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services on May 13, 2026, imposed a six-month nationwide moratorium on new Medicare enrollment for hospice and home health agencies, citing escalating fraud as the justification. The specifics of the Pfizer deal structure, including contract duration and formulary provisions, were not disclosed in available source material. Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services Administrator Mehmet Oz framed the enrollment freeze in direct terms. "Today we're shutting the door on fraud, preventing new bad actors from entering Medicare while we aggressively identify, investigate and remove those already exploiting them. This is about protecting patients, restoring integrity and safeguarding taxpayer dollars," Oz said in a statement. The freeze covers new enrollment applications and certain majority ownership changes, which Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services identified as a mechanism bad actors use to obscure fraudulent activity. Existing enrolled providers are unaffected. For institutional investors, the timing of these two interventions is not coincidental. Washington is repricing the cost of doing business in government-funded healthcare across pharma and post-acute care in the same policy cycle. Capital deployed into either sector without accounting for this regulatory reset is mispriced. Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services enrollment moratorium rewrites the home health and hospice investment thesis. The moratorium lands on a sector that private equity has treated as a high-yield growth vertical for the better part of a decade. Home health and hospice attracted significant deal flow on the premise that demographic tailwinds, lower-cost care delivery, and Medicare reimbursement stability created a durable earnings base. That last assumption now requires revision. Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services stated the nationwide scope of the freeze is specifically designed to prevent providers from relocating across state lines to avoid scrutiny. The agency also announced plans to accelerate fraud investigations and deploy data analytics tools to remove providers suspected of misconduct. Federal strike forces are already active in California, Florida, Arizona, and Nevada, four states that collectively represent a disproportionate share of home health and hospice Medicare billings. The moratorium covers new enrollment and certain majority ownership changes. That second provision carries direct implications for mergers and acquisitions. Any platform acquisition or roll-up strategy that relies on enrolling newly acquired entities under Medicare faces a six-month pause, at minimum. Deal timelines extend. Integration costs rise. The return profile on subscale acquisitions narrows. Leading Edge, the organization representing more than 5,000 senior care providers, expressed support for the moratorium. CEO Katie Smith Sloan said the short-term pause can be an appropriate tool to allow Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services time to develop longer-term solutions. That endorsement from a major industry body reduces the probability of successful legal challenge, a key variable private equity sponsors would otherwise have used to handicap enforcement duration. Critical risk: any private equity portfolio company in hospice or home health that completed a change of control transaction in the 12 months preceding the moratorium should assess whether its enrollment status triggers Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services review under the majority ownership change provision. The Pfizer Medicaid deal signals a new negotiating posture at scale. The $280 million in projected state savings from the Pfizer Medicaid pricing arrangement represents more than a single contract outcome. It is a data point in a broader pattern. Drug manufacturers are accepting structured rebate or pricing frameworks to preserve formulary access in government payer channels rather than risk exclusion. The methodology behind the $280 million figure and the study's authorship were not available in the source material. Terms of the specific pricing mechanism, whether volume-based rebates, outcomes-linked payments, or reference pricing, were not disclosed. What the number does confirm is the order of magnitude. A single manufacturer agreement at the Medicaid level can move hundreds of millions of dollars in program expenditure. For pharmaceutical sector investors, the investment grade read is straightforward. Pfizer, a company with a market capitalization in the hundreds of billions, is demonstrating that large cap pharma will negotiate rather than hold the line on list price in government channels. Smaller specialty pharma platforms that have built gross margin assumptions on Medicaid list price stickiness face compression that their models may not reflect. The complication for private equity-backed specialty pharma is the leverage dimension. Sponsor-owned drug companies carrying acquisition debt at elevated rates have less capacity to absorb rebate expansion than investment-grade peers. A 200 to 400 basis point contraction in net realized price on a Medicaid-heavy book of business can breach coverage covenants at the portfolio company level. RegionX Bio's Duchenne data introduces a gene therapy displacement variable. RegionX Bio reported on May 14, 2026, that its experimental gene therapy for Duchenne muscular dystrophy produced sufficient levels of a miniaturized muscle protein to support an FDA submission for accelerated approval, according to STAT. CEO Curran Simpson told STAT, "I think our data checks every single box that you would want for accelerated approval." The company is positioning its candidate as a safer and more effective alternative to Sarepta Therapeutics' Elevidys, which has faced safety concerns following two patient deaths from liver failure. Terms of any partnership, licensing, or commercialization agreement were not disclosed in available source material. The competitive framing here is the relevant signal for healthcare mergers and acquisitions. If RegionX Bio secures FDA accelerated approval, the incumbent gene therapy asset in Duchenne, Elevidys, faces formulary displacement risk. Sarepta built its rare disease franchise on that product. A credible competitor with a differentiated safety profile changes the expected value of Sarepta as an acquisition target and alters the royalty economics of any licensing arrangement tied to Elevidys revenue. For rare disease platforms generally, the RegionX Bio data reinforces that first-mover advantage in gene therapy is more fragile than in conventional biologics. Capital allocated to rare disease gene therapy should be stress-tested against a scenario where a second-generation entrant captures the majority of incident cases within 3 to 5 years of launch. Caption: 3/2026 regulatory and clinical events reshaping healthcare mergers and acquisitions risk and return assumptions. The policy cycle convergence that changes portfolio construction. These three developments share a structural origin. The federal government is simultaneously compressing reimbursement, tightening provider enrollment, and allowing second-generation clinical entrants to challenge established drug franchises. The policy vector runs in one direction: cost reduction through competition, enforcement, and negotiated pricing. The National Alliance for Care at Home, which also commented on the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services moratorium, supported the fraud crackdown while warning that a nationwide freeze carries risks for legitimate providers. That tension, between enforcement necessity and access disruption, is precisely the operational complexity that makes post-acute care platforms difficult to underwrite in the current environment. Historically, enrollment moratoria have been geographically targeted. The nationwide scope of this freeze is without recent precedent in the home health sector. Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services's stated rationale, that bad actors relocate to avoid regional enforcement, confirms the agency has longitudinal data showing geographic arbitrage was occurring. That data will drive the next phase of enforcement, likely including retrospective audits of providers who relocated in the 12 to 24 months before the moratorium. Scale reference: Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services's moratorium covers new applications across the entire U.S. hospice and home health Medicare enrollment pipeline. Leading age alone represents more than 5,000 senior care providers, illustrating the breadth of the affected sector. Investment positioning healthcare private equity sponsors with home health or hospice assets should stress test hold periods against a 6-month minimum delay on any enrollment-dependent value creation plan. Roll-up strategies that depend on rapid Medicare certification of acquired targets are operationally suspended. Pharma investors should model Medicaid net price scenarios that incorporate the Pfizer precedent. The $280 million savings figure is a negotiating anchor state Medicaid directors will now cite in future drug pricing discussions. Rare disease gene therapy positions warrant scenario analysis that prices in a competitive second-generation entrant within a 3 to 5 year window, particularly in any indication where safety differentiation is possible. The Plaquemine view: the market is pricing these three events separately. That is the error. Pfizer's Medicaid deal, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services moratorium, and the RegionX Bio clinical readout are not independent developments. They are expressions of the same underlying dynamic. The federal government and clinical innovation are jointly eroding the pricing power and market access certainty that justified healthcare premium multiples over the prior decade. Post-acute care private equity platforms were underwritten on the assumption that Medicare enrollment was a durable moat. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services moratorium demonstrates that moat can be frozen by administrative action in a single day, with no legislative process required. That changes the regulatory risk premium embedded in EBITDA multiples for the sector. Our original thesis here, the real second-order trade, is in healthcare compliance infrastructure. Data analytics firms that help providers demonstrate clean billing practices, and the legal and advisory firms that support enrollment applications and fraud defense, will see demand accelerate regardless of whether the moratorium ends on schedule or extends. Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services explicitly stated it will deploy data analytics tools to remove suspected fraudsters. The counterparty to that enforcement infrastructure is legitimate providers who need their own analytics capability to prove they are not targets. The Pfizer-Medicaid deal, if it becomes a template, also accelerates the shift toward outcomes-linked contracts in state formulary negotiations. Specialty pharma platforms that have not built the real-world evidence infrastructure to support outcomes-based pricing are exposed. RegionX Bio's Duchenne positioning is the cleanest near-term catalyst to watch. An FDA-accelerated approval would trigger immediate Sarepta revaluation and likely accelerate strategic interest in RegionX Bio itself. The gene therapy mergers and acquisitions cycle in rare disease is not over. It is being reset by safety differentiation. The bottom line: federal pricing pressure on pharma, enrollment enforcement in post-acute care, and clinical displacement in gene therapy arrived in the same two-week window in May 2026. Portfolios built on the pre-2026 assumption that government reimbursement was stable and predictable need recalibration. The next 12 months will separate healthcare platforms with genuine regulatory moats from those that mistook favorable policy conditions for durable competitive advantage. Position accordingly.